to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter and on Instagram, redrock_bball, on Facebook at facebook.com/redrockbasketball, and the email address is redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com. Make sure you're also checking out the new YouTube channel, which you can find the links to on the website, and you can find links in my Twitter bio as well, so make sure you're looking at the new YouTube channel and subscribe over there. Thank you for everyone who has checked out the videos, and they're obviously a work in progress, just getting new ideas and doing things there, and I'd really appreciate if you could check them out and give me a bit of feedback on what you think of the stuff on YouTube, just trying to go with a different channel of stuff. Podcast is obviously still continuing and nothing's changing there, but just doing a few new things in video format. One thing I will mention with the YouTube channel is probably the next week or so, I'm going to be doing a little short video highlighting the best draft picks unsigned in the NBA. So the best Euro stash players, basically, which will be of a great interest to people in dynasty leagues, including the people who have applied for the Red Rock Dynasty League. So thank you to everybody who has applied. As you may have expected, applications have well exceeded open spots in the league. I haven't made the decision on who will be in the league. That will be happening across the next week. But thank you to everybody who has applied. So apologies if you do happen to miss out on the league, because there has been an overwhelming number of applications for the league. One more quick shout out before we get into talking about the season in review stuff, which we're going to be doing today. Thank you to whoever left the review on iTunes pretending to be my mum. I really, really appreciate that review. Obviously not my mum, because it's in the US iTunes store, and I don't think she even knows how to write one in the Australian iTunes store, let alone change her location to write it in the US store. But thank you to whoever took the time to write that in the US iTunes store, and also took the time to spell mum with the Australian spelling, M-U-M, and not the M-O-M that's spelt in America. So attention to detail is something that I like quite a lot. So thank you very much to whoever did that one. Now, as I mentioned, we are here doing the Season in Review podcast. Today, we're going to be doing the Utah Jazz. Shout out to the Basketball Jones for that drop of the Jazz. If anyone remembers the old Basketball Jones, now the Starters, they used to drop that every time they talked Utah Jazz on the podcast. I just thought I'd bring it back for you guys who may have missed that sound. All right, the Jazz. Definitely, I hate saying interesting, because I feel like I say for every team, but I love this team. There's a lot of intrigue on this team for me. To me, they're like the Orlando Magic almost of the West. Just a really good young core, players across lots of different positions, almost the complete team, just young and inexperienced, but you can see them all growing. Obviously some questions and some question marks, but fantasy-wise, there's a ton of potential here. Not even potential, there's legit fantasy stars on this team, and there's a number of players who I think this team is going to be a real, real exciting team in the next 2 to 3 seasons. All right, we'll start where we always like to start, and that's with the point guard situation. Trey Burke was the starter for the start of the season. He was supplanted by Australian rookie Dante Exum in the second half of the season. I'm not sure if I mentioned this on the podcast. I happened to meet Dante Exum a couple of weeks ago. Really, really nice guy. Very, very humble, very easy to talk to. So I had a bit of a conversation with him a couple of weeks ago. For fantasy, let's start with Dante. He was not good from a fantasy point of view. Per game, the 320th ranked player. Didn't really improve down the stretch either. So with the starting job, it didn't really help too much. Post All-Star 271st, so a little bit of an improvement. And his head-to-head total number of 242 is not horrible, but it's obviously boosted by the fact that he played 82 games. So one of the few rookies to play every game. He only played 22 minutes a game, almost 5 points. He hit a three a game, which is not something I expected him to do, but not much else. 1.6 rebounds, 2.4 assists, half a steal, and just some horrible shooting percentages, 35 from the field and 63 from the free throw line. If we look at his numbers, if it goes out to per 36, they're not great either. 7.8 points, 1.6 threes, 3.9 assists, not even a steal, 2.6 rebounds, just not good numbers from Dante Exum at all. Is he the point guard of the future? Well, that sort of still is up in the air. I think there's almost no doubt that he is the point guard of the future over Trey Burke, and I would be shocked if he doesn't enter the season as the starting point guard next season. But that doesn't mean I want anything to do with him in standard fantasy leagues, 10-team leagues, 12-team leagues, 14-team leagues, maybe a 16-team league. But dynasty leagues, if you're looking for someone for 2 to 3 years down the track, I think that Exum could be someone who has a bit of intrigue there, and he could push into the top 100 in the next 3 seasons. I just don't think we're going to see really much of him doing anything really beneficial from a fantasy point of view next season, and probably the season after as well. The guy who started the season as the starter, Trey Burke, I don't think he has a great future in the NBA, to be honest. Now, his fantasy numbers, when you look on the surface, they're okay. Head-to-head total, 88th. Per game, 114th. Per 36 minutes, 103rd. A much better head-to-head than Roto. We got 88 compared with a 149. That's because of his horrible, horrible shooting. But he had 12.8 points, 1.6 triples, 2.7 rebounds, 4.3 assists, almost a steal, but 37% on 13 attempts. That's a big hole. And 75% from the free throw line. The problem is he's too small to me to be a starting point guard. Now, he could be a guy who plays as the sixth man. And when he moved to the bench, when Exum became the starter, and he took on that bench scoring role, he was a lot better. And he was a guy that you had to own down the stretch in 10 and 12 team leagues. If you wanted that sort of scoring punch, some assists, some three-pointers, he had good value in that sort of situation. But as a starter, he couldn't get it done. Now, when the next season the Jazz are going to be introducing another lottery pick, they're going to have the return of Alec Burks. That means you'll likely see Rodney Hood in the second unit. So Burks not going to have all of the scoring in that second unit his way. I don't think he won't. I think it's doubtful that he tops that 12.8 that he scored this season. 12 team leagues, you might want to take a look at Trey Burke, but I reckon there's going to be other players that you want. He's probably a 14 team league guy, and in dynasty leagues, I just don't see him being a real handy contributor for NBA teams in years to come. I think he's going to be a role player. He's going to be an 18 to 22 minute a game guy. I don't think he's ever going to develop into a real starting caliber player. The other point guard on the roster, Bryce Cotton, he started off the season or the summer with the San Antonio Spurs. Only played 15 games for the Jazz, 11 minutes, 5 points, 1 assist, half a 3, 0.3 steals. You know, overall, not terrible numbers. I think there's a little bit of potential in Bryce Cotton. We're talking deep, deep, deep league sort of stuff. But as the third point guard on this team, unless they decide to bring a point guard in the draft, which is a possibility, I think Cotton has value in extremely deep leagues. If Exum suffers an injury, or if we see Burke suffering an injury, if he gets out 18 minutes, he can put up decent numbers. So he's not someone I'd be completely writing off. I reckon if he was to get the same numbers as what Exum got, he would put up more stats at this point in his career. I think that seems to be, from what I've seen of him play, he has a bit more of a fantasy-friendly game at this point of his career. Even though they're both rookies, I think that Cotton, if he gets into that situation as a backup due to an injury to Burke or due to an injury to Exum, he's someone that you can keep an eye on. Now, the wing players. Let's start with Alec Burks. I think a bit of a forgotten man. He started the season, he had some bonkers games, really. These big double-double games of massive rebounding. Then got injured, and then he's out for the season with that shoulder problem. His numbers overall, they look okay. You know, we can't really look at his total numbers because he didn't play much of the season. But head-to-head ranking of 148th is all right, and I think the only way is up for Burks. 13.9 points. He hit a 3 a game, 4.2 rebounds. He can also give assists as well. 3 assists, half a steal, 40% shooting, so another poor shooter. But 82 from the line, so some decent numbers from him. You're pretty similar to what he was able to do the year before, but what he did do was he was able to increase his 3-point shooting. He shot at 38% from three, which is obviously a great conversion rate. If he starts taking more of them and hitting them at that conversion rate, we could see a guy at 1.5 threes, 15 to 16 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, and that's pretty decent. That's someone who you need to take a look at in 12 team leagues. Heading into next season, I reckon he's going to be pretty forgotten. I think that I'd be okay with taking him at the end of a 12-team league, and I definitely like him in dynasty leagues. The Jazz have invested a fair bit of money in him. He's in the first year of an extension next season. I think 4 years, about $48 million, which seemed like a lot. But you know what? When the Grizzlies extended Mike Conley for however much they extended him for, everyone thought, what kind of a contract's this? And then they saw the potential in him. Conley played into it, and the contract looks really good from the Grizzlies' perspective now, because Conley was able to put in great work and matured at the right time. And I think Burks could be that guy. He could be someone who's in for a pretty big season next year. At the end of a 12-team league, I'd be more than happy of taking a risk on him and hoping that he does mature in his fifth season in the NBA, which is maybe a little bit overdue for someone to come on. But I know the Jazz do like him, and I think that there's something to say for what he could be able to do. Before I go any further, just a quick apology. My voice it sounds a little bit crackly. Just got a something happening with my throat. It's not feeling the best, so you might hear my voice sound a little bit crackly at times. So I do apologize for that. The other shooting guard of note on the roster is Rodney Hood, a rookie from last season who injuries to his foot really bothered him during the season. He only played 50 games, 21 minutes a game. The overall numbers, it's hard to judge from them. 21 minutes a game, 8.7 points, 1.2 threes, not a lot else to mention. But when he was given that starting role in the second half of the season, look at the last 2 weeks. He played 31 minutes, 16.7 points, 1.7 threes, 3.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, over a steal, 45 and 91 as his percentages. It's impressive. It's very impressive. Now, I say Burks is going to come back, and he's likely going to retain his starting job. That's how I would think. But I don't see there's any way that Hood gets less than 28 to 29 minutes a game next season. He's going to be the primary backup to Burks, or he could even start over Burks, but I don't think so. But he's going to be the primary backup at the two. He'll be the primary backup at the three. And for the minutes that he's able to give you, he's a lock for drafting in 14-team leagues. And 12-team leagues, I think there is some value there for him as well. The last month of the season, he ranked the 110th ranked player, and he got better as we went on. The last 2 weeks, you saw those numbers that I just read out. They're much better than that. So that's a top sort of 80 player in that time frame. Burks does impact him, definitely, in terms of minutes at that wing position. But I still think they're going to find enough time to get Hood decent minutes. They did invest a nice draft pick in him, a lottery pick in him, and he showed that he could play when he was healthy. The other guys on the wings out there, Elijah Millsap, Paul Millsap's brother, obviously a much, much different player to what Paul is, but a real defensive dynamo for this team. 1.2 steals in just 20 minutes a game, and that was the value of Elijah Millsap. He had some great daily fantasy games because he'd be able to get 4 to 5 steals at minimum salary. 5 points, not a lot else, 3.2 rebounds. They like what he can do defensively, but I think the ceiling on him is fairly limited. Joe Ingles, another guy, another rookie, another Australian rookie. He had a really good rookie season. I think a lot of people would be surprised. He played 79 games, 21 minutes a game as well, 5 points, but he hit a three a game, 2.3 assists from a guy who was small forward and power forward eligible as well. 1 steal a game, 42 and 75 as his percentages. With Burks coming back, with Hood in the mix, with Millsap around, with Gordon Hayward, obviously, who we haven't even touched on yet, it might be hard for Ingles to get the same amount of minutes next season, but for what he was able to do, his versatility, his shooting, his defensive abilities, there's a role for him there. There's definitely a role for him. His ceiling is capped. There's no chance of him being a breakout player or anything like that. But if he gives you what he gave you last season, and that's the 172nd ranked player for head-to-head leagues or 176 for Roto, that's something that you can use when you go, we're talking deep, 16-team leagues. Joe Ingles has value there. The last month, he ranked 177th, so pretty consistent all across the board, and he was just that nice source of threes, a nice source of steals, and good out-of-position assist numbers. 2.3 assists in 21 minutes as a power forward eligible player is really, really fantastic, and it's quite underrated, in fact, and it's probably something I need to look at when doing my rankings. At looking at maybe weighting certain categories, I'm talking out loud, I'm brainstorming while I'm talking to you guys. Maybe start looking at if guys give out of position numbers, does that increase their worth? Or anyway, I'm thinking out loud here as I'm talking about Joe Ingles. But that 2.3 assists in 21 minutes is very handy, along with the steals, along with the three pointers. There was a stretch where he was hitting almost 2 threes a game for a big stretch towards the end of the season. Chris Johnson, another guy they had on the wings, not much to really talk about with him. He played 29 games for the season. He hit a three a game as well, 0.9 steals, but I think he's going to be behind Millsap, behind Ingles, behind Hood, behind Burks, deep leagues only. Let's talk Gordon Hayward, who is the best player on this team, in my opinion. I know a lot of people will be screaming, oh, what about Rudy Gobert? But Gordon Hayward, to me, is the best player on this team. Before we get into Haywood, though, there's a question I should have touched on earlier from Midnight Walker, who's at KingMidnight60 on Twitter. Who do you think has the brighter future, Exum or Burke? I sort of touched on that early without specifically going into it, but to me it's Exum who's got the brighter future. I just don't think that Trey Burke has much of a future really in the NBA as a star or as a starter. But I think Exum has star ability. I don't necessarily think he is guaranteed to be a star, but he's got great defensive ability. There's a lot, a lot there with him. I think that's the best way to put it. A lot of potential. Joe Buck also asked a similar question. Who starts and gets the most minutes between Burke and Exum? Related, do they take a one or two in the draft, given this still seems like their bigger need? As to the draft, I don't think they take a one there unless there's a guy who's really, really fallen. Minutes-wise, I mentioned it before, I think Exum and Burks is going to be the starting combo, and I think they get... I would think that Exum gets more minutes than Trey Burke this upcoming season, and Burks gets around that 29 to 30-minute mark as well. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. I was talking Gordon Haywood. Let's go back into Gordon Haywood. He is the best player on this team. He signed that max extension as a restricted free agent with them in the offseason. And he delivered, really. He was fantastic. I don't think there's any other way of putting that. From a real-life perspective and a fantasy perspective, from a fantasy point of view, he was the 24th ranked head-to-head player, the 20th ranked roto player. Per game, he was 33rd. He was a clear star. I picked him very early in a lot of my drafts, third round in most places I got him in, which is probably over 50% of my leagues. And he paid back that value. At the start of the season, he was a top 15 sort of guy. He did drop off a little bit, suffered a few injuries at the end of the season. But overall, his numbers are impressive. 19.3 points, 1.6 triples, 4.9 rebounds, 4.1 assists, 1.5 steals, 45 and 81 as his percentages. It's a big increase from last season. He jumped his field goal percentage up from 41 to 45. His scoring went up 3 points a game. He hit an extra half a three a game. He did drop his assist numbers by one, which is a little bit concerning because that's part of his value. But overall, his efficiency and his scoring bump made him a better player than he was the year before. And I think that he's a lock for the top 30 for years to come. Jeremy Evans is a guy who's listed as a small forward, but he's mainly a power forward. We'll talk about him now. He's one of the only Jazz players who is coming out of contract this season. He's an unrestricted free agent. I think Jeremy Evans has significant potential. Like, significant. But there's obviously something that I don't necessarily see with him, that the Jazz organization does, because they just don't play him enough minutes. Say, not necessarily last season, but the year before, there was lots of opportunity for him to play, and he just didn't. So to me, as exciting as he is, dunk contests and all that sort of stuff, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his per 36 numbers. 12.2 points, 9.6 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 1.6 blocks, 55 and 83 as his percentages. He's a high percentage shooter. He's shot in his last five seasons, 55, 53, 61, 64, 66% from the field. A lot of it's because of dunking, but he's a high-energy rebounder. He's a good defensive guy. He just doesn't get much playing time. I'd like to see, look, if they don't re-sign him, I can completely understand that. But I think that there's a lot in Jeremy Evans. It's still untapped, and it might just take a change of scenery for that to come about. Wouldn't mind rostering him for a very, very small amount in a dynasty league. And you might get one or two good years out of him. A situation arises, he gets playing time, because he's one of those guys who's shown that in limited minutes, he can put up big numbers. It's just the problem has been actually him getting playing time. And that's obviously a massive obstacle to putting up fantasy value, is getting that playing time. But it's something to definitely keep an eye on. Now, the front court is where a lot of the excitement was happening for this team. We'll start with Derek Favors, who was great again. He had a head-to-head rank of 31, Roto 47th, and per game as the 43rd player. He did struggle a bit down the stretch. Again, he dealt with some injuries. He ranked 121st in the last month, which is a little bit worrisome, but not too much. The thing that's bothering a little bit to me with Favors is he only played 31 minutes a game. Now, with Enes Kanter now out of town, I would expect that he would get 33 to 34 minutes a game next season, and that could mean that we see a significant bump in what Favors is able to do. He averaged 16 and 8 this season, 0.8 steals, 1.7 blocks, 53 and 67. So he's always going to be a bit of a drag in the free throw percentage, not enough where it means you have to punt. but enough where you have to go, okay, I've either got to make the decision to punt, or I've got to focus on some real high volume, high shooting guys to drag that back up to a competitive level. Part of the reason his last month was so poor is because of those injuries that he was having, and he only played 28 minutes in the last month, 14 and 80 averaged. Pretty much all his statistical categories dropped. If he gets himself right, which there's no reason to think he shouldn't, if he gets back the big minutes, which you would hope he could get 32 to 33, maybe 35 minutes a game, a big, big season could be on the way for Derek Favors. I would have no hesitance in taking him in the top 50 of drafts for next season. He is a talented player. I was a little bit skeptical about how he'd fit with Rudy Gobert, but we saw down the stretch that they did play well together, even though Favors' numbers did drop a little bit. They still can play together. Overall, it's not my ideal combination. I still, if there hadn't been the issues with Enes Kanter and his personality clashes, I would have loved to have had Kanter and Gobert as the combination. But Favors and Gobert can still work. And if he has shown signs that he can transition his shot out a little bit further. So if Derek Favors can do that, that's another string to his bow, and that adds more versatility to his game. I think some big seasons are coming for Derek Favors. Trevor Booker, apart from hitting one of the craziest shots of the season with that over-the-head volleyball spike that he did early on in the season, he had some big numbers in games when he had to start. So he'd play next to Gobert when Favors was out. 20 minutes a game, 7.2 and 5. Half a steal, half a block, 49% from the field. He's just that reliable backup guy who's going to get that 20 minutes a night, and when the opportunity comes to start, becomes a daily fantasy stud and becomes a streamable guy into standard leagues. Now, he's got one more year on his contract in Utah. They don't really have anybody else as a backup at the big man position, so Trevor Booker is going to continue to get those minutes. And deep league guys need to make sure they've got him rostered. He was the 180th ranked player for Roto. His head-to-head game wasn't so good, but if we looked in the last month, when Favors was out, he jumped it up to 188. So there was a little bit there. So 16-team leagues, and that need to pay attention. But remember, there's no Enes Kanter now. So for the duration of next season, there's likely no one else there as the Booker goes from the fourth big man to the third big man. So he gets a bigger role, and he's going to be relied upon more. Bear that in mind. The other big man on roster before we get to the gem, and that's Rudy Gobert, Jack Cooley, who played only 16 games, 5 minutes a game. He was a rebounding beast in the D-League. And we also had Grant Jarrett, who came across from the Oklahoma City Thunder. This was his rookie season, 8 games, 6 minutes, 2 points and 1.1 rebounds. He shot a putrid 27%. Not a good season from Jarrett. Per game, he was 462nd. But the last month, 271st. So he did start to get a little bit better as the season wore on, and they are needing that extra big man. I think Cooley's probably the better option, but Jarrett, not terrible. I think that Jarrett's a bit of an underrated prospect. I wouldn't mind taking a gamble on him in a dynasty sort of format, but it's a huge gamble, and the most you're going to expect from him is maybe a 15-minute-a-game performance in the likelihood that, say, Booker's out or Favors is out or Gobert is out or something like that, and they need someone to play some minutes. But I think he can be a guy who gets fantasy numbers if he gets that primary or secondary backup big man role. There's a little bit there for him. Now let's talk Rudy Gobert, who was one of the internet's favorite people. I don't think there's much doubt about that. Barry Baker asked me a question, which I think is probably the most obvious question I've been asked in a long time. Who is better in a dynasty league, Burke or Gobert? It's Gobert 100 times out of 100. It's 100 times out of 50. That's how much it's Gobert. He was quite literally amazing. We saw, actually, someone sent me an email a couple of weeks ago about a question they asked me in the preseason about Gobert, and I harked back and I said, look, I like what Gobert's showing in the preseason. His upside looks huge, but I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity. Well, once he had the opportunity with injuries, when Kanter got traded or Favors was injured, when he was able to start, we saw what he could do. His numbers, he played all games, 82 games. He played 26 minutes. This is over the course of the season. 8.4 points, 9.5 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, 0.8 steals, 60% and 62 from the line. That's great. It's great. He was the 21st ranked player in head-to-head leagues, despite starting for just the last 2 months of the season. Per game, 48th. Roto, 49th. He started for 2 months. Remember that. The last, after we started, he was the 13th ranked player in head-to-head leagues. Post All-Star break, the 13th. He averaged 11.1 points, 13.4 rebounds, almost two assists, a steal, 2.6 blocks, 58% and 63 from the line. Now, like we talk about Derek Favors, he's got a poor free throw percentage, 63% on 5 attempts in that last 2 months, a great field goal percentage. He needs to get his scoring up, though, and I think that will come. Now, he played a lot of minutes, 34.5 minutes down the stretch after the Cantor trade. So he was getting the bulk of the minutes while Favors was getting limited minutes. The block numbers are incredible. Massive, massive rebound numbers for Gobert. Where do we take him next season? I think that's the big question. I don't take him inside the top 20. I know he finished with a rank of 13 post All-Star break. I don't take him inside the top 20. I think to me he's a third round guy. He's in that 20 to 30 range along with maybe Hassan Whiteside, Nerlens Noel around that range. I would take him above both of those guys. I think there's no way to me you're going to get him past the pick 24. I don't think that might be a little bit early for me, but I think that's where most people are going to be looking at him, around that 21, 22 mark. And some people will go crazy and they'll take him 15 or 16 or something like that. The numbers are definitely there. I don't necessarily think it relates to me to go and pick him at pick, say, 15, despite him being the 13th ranked player down the stretch. I don't think that's going to be the case. Although I don't think he's necessarily going to be that. But if he can get some offensive game going, remember, this was his second season last year. Those block numbers can go up. The steal numbers can go up. The free throw percentage can go up. It went from 49 in his rookie season up to 62 in his second season. If he gets it up to a Blake Griffin-like 69, 72, along that sort of career trajectory, we're talking then borderline top 15, top 12 sort of player. He's not quite there yet. Don't get too excited. If you can get the scoring going, and you can develop a shot apart from a dunk, then it's all systems go. But at this stage, he's a field goal percentage, a blocks guy, a rebounds guy, and that's all he's giving you. A little bit of steals. He's a slight positive in the steals, but not much. But it's weighted heavily towards those categories. That's why his roto value is much less than his head-to-head value. So, over the course of the season, 21 versus 49. So a bit of a drop-off for his roto value. Bear that in mind in your format. But for Dynasty Leagues, he's going to go super high. When we do the Red Rock Dynasty League auction, he is going to go for an exorbitant amount of money. I think he'll go in the top 12 of prices in a Dynasty League. And I wouldn't be adverse to taking him inside the top 12 in a Dynasty League, even in a snake draft format. I think that's where he is going to go. He is going to go for big numbers. He's going to be a guy who's threatening to average 3 blocks a game, 15 and 12, 1.5 steals, 55% shooting. That's the sort of guy we can expect. But I'm probably not going to end up with him anywhere on any of my teams, because I'm not going to want to take him where I need to take him to get him. I'd be pretty comfortable with saying that at this point. All right, that does it for the Utah Jazz. Tomorrow, myself and Matt Smith will be talking Phoenix Suns, so make sure you tune into that. And again, make sure you're checking out the YouTube channel. Have a look at the videos, give me some suggestions, ideas, anything you think might be interesting. And keep an eye out for the video I will be having there about the best guys that are stashed in Europe, especially for you guys playing Dynasty Leagues. Thanks again for all the applications for the Dynasty Leagues. I will be sifting through all of those. Myself, Mark Roberts, and Matt Smith have been going over the Dynasty rules. And once I send you out the email to let you know that you are successful, I will send you a copy of those rules. And once it's all sorted, I'll probably put a link to the rules up on the social media sites, and probably up on the website as well. If you guys want to have a look at the rules for the Dynasty League, I'll post all that up. But I will send a copy to the people who have been successful in their applications. Leave a review like my mum did on iTunes. That would be fantastic. Follow me, subscribe on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that sort of stuff. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.